Good afternoon, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design, what on earth does that mean? It means that you are radiant. You're a radiant, wonderful being who radiates out all kinds of weird stuff you're not really necessarily thinking about, and it helps you manifest. Sometimes what it is you think about and desire, you just do. But because of the stuff that radiates out and is in our subconscious and is left over from who knows what, we can actually impede our own manifestations. And that's why I call this Radiance by Design, because on this show, we talk about certain subjects. Today, we're going to talk about hidden competitions, things like that that keep us separate from one another. Where is it hidden in your body? How come we're not always conscious of it? What on earth can we do about it? What can we expect if we release competition? Can we change our lives and change the world? I think so. So we're going to have some fun today, and we're going to accept callers, and we're going to get to work on a world meditation. One of the things that several people have said, and I recently got, for those of you who heard him speak, Paul Balch, who talked about consciousness and transformation way back when at the beginning of Paradigm Shifters, he emailed me from, I can't remember where they are, Australia, Malaysia, something, and said, big warning that there's earth changes coming. I'm not going to get into all kinds of detail. And we always talk about how we can create our reality. Now, we can create. And collectively, and we're all learning from Lynn McTaggart and others about the field, we can actually impose a higher consciousness and a lot different visualization into the field, into the collective, into the shared consciousness we all have. I was talking to the guys, Bob and I. Bob's my wonderful partner who sits here with me during the show, and he's brilliant and a great techie wizard. Anyway, we were talking, I was channeling with the guides, and we were asking questions about earth changes and so on. And the guides recommended, what they did explain was something that is going on in the core of the earth, okay? And we keep hearing about the polar shifts and so on. And we don't quite know what it means because I guess they're margin of error regarding time is really very broad, so none of us is quite sure. We know that the magnetic energy is dropping. We know the frequencies are going real fast. We know that what used to take about 1 million years now takes about 300 years to accomplish. We know things are a bit topsy-turvy. We experienced the tsunami in 2005, which in a very short space of minutes wiped out 250,000 plus people. So we're all kind of going, wow, earth changes, what does that mean? What the guide said was, and they gave us a little description on what's going on the inner core of the earth, and they gave us some meditation tools to use, because you and I can have a humongous impact on the vibrational clarity of Mother Earth. When she gets stockpiled with building gases and ferments and rolling changes and so on, and they're blocked and they can't flow out of the earth, then of course something has to break or something has to shift with a great deal of drama, kind of like we are. You know, if we can't move things gently or if we don't get the message, then we're changed by experience, which clubs us over the head with a 2x4. It's kind of like that. So they're talking about doing a wonderful meditation today, and we're going to start our show with that. Moving and releasing the hidden frequencies and energies in Mother Earth in order to offset what needs to be, offset the cataclysmic style of energy releasing. Mother Earth is going through a process of healing, and from what I understand, it really isn't about just us and what we've done to damage her. It's about the natural cycles and flows of this living being, as well as what we've done to sort of get in the way of her natural outflowing and changes and so on. Like, we're all in the way of Mother Earth's changes. I don't want my house to be wrecked because Mother Earth needs to burp, right? Neither do you. So we're all kind of at that level in the way. So what we want to do is help release trapped energies and hopefully change some of the cataclysmic level of Earth changes coming up. It's always wonderful to see you and hear you and talk to you every Tuesday. And it's wonderful to connect with you around the world, doing a meditation where we share consciousness and we share impact. So let's get to work. I'm calling in the presence of the higher beings, yours and mine, the source energy, Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit. Good. Now, all of you, I want you to focus deep within the core of the earth. Deep within the core of the earth, and however you understand this or can visualize it, imagine in the molten center core of the earth, things are rather tumultuous. Maybe there's waves. How do you see it? I see it as this really deep, fiery blob of molten energy, which has this great bubble coming off the side. And where the bubble impacts the rest of the earth, the higher sections of the earth, there get to be fissures. Now, what needs to go through the fissures are the excess gases and the frequencies that are trapped as this molten core moves around with a little bit of vigor. So how I see this meditation is we each focus inside and we allow or we envision or we bring up through with the help of our guides and angels, create channels for this energy to leak out gently right up through the crust of the earth, right up through the mountains, maybe through you, because as the guides mentioned, some of you feel this run through your body. Some of you don't. Some of you observe it. Some of you just sense it. It doesn't matter. It's not right or wrong. And guess what? This is not a competition. This is where we're going to work collectively to help ease the pressure in Mother Earth. So again, let's do our focus inside. Oh, first thing we do is call in from above, from the great central sun, call in streams of light and consciousness and have them move down to the top of your head and run down through your body and into the core of the earth. And there in the core of the earth, I want you to focus on what you perceive is the tumultuousness deep within the earth. Excellent. And now, using your visualization and metaphorical skills, envision the release of however you experience it, whether it's gases, energies, not so subtle energies, seeing it release itself up through perhaps the oceans, a safe place.
Good.
And be guided by the guides and angels. My, that ran through my body. And let's do it. Pick a slightly different place and let's do that again. Again, call in the light from above. Run it through your body. Move it down into the core of the earth. And then release whatever you experience is pent up there. And have it move up through, create its channels, and guide it through, and shoot it back up into the universe. Now the other thing that we were talking about today is that the Earth, just like you, has its etheric body. And that's another form of Earth, however you see it. But I'm seeing it as a great vibrance that is just like the Earth, but it's etheric. And move into the etheric body, because you're an etheric person who's in the etheric body as well. And have yourself create and design how it is you'd like to see the Earth shift her frequencies and move some of this locked energy so that she can heal herself. And connect very deeply and wholly with your etheric self and this etheric body of Mother Earth. And again, see yourself helping to heal and transform our Earth in her time of change. And let's see ourselves connected etherically all around the globe with others and with light. Excellent. And now the other thing I'd like to do is do a structure. Remember the structure? So let's see the structures. And now I have a golden ball above, a golden ball below, and a filament of light running between those two balls. and all around your body, about 8 feet out, a series of golden balls to make a circle. And then from the upper golden ball, which I didn't say was a couple of miles up, but that's what we want to see, drop the millions and millions of myriads of filaments of pink light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower one, many, many pink lights. And inside of that, you're in a crystal ball, which the edges of which nudge the inside edges of your structure. And inside that, you're in a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And spin and spin in this pyramid. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And see in front of you on the magic screen, see Mother Earth. And see her being spun in a double tetrahedron as well. And to be healed. And to be loved. And to be rejoiced with. And let's see all the humanity, all the living creatures on the earth, rising in consciousness to enfold awareness of Mother Earth with their own, awareness of the universal consciousness with their own. And give it a wonderful spin. You might want to wrap it in pink light. And then come back into the room here, where we're going to talk. And I hope you're going to call in with your questions today. Today's subject is competition. It's a weird subject, isn't it? But the thing about the competition is we keep talking. And I know Lynn McTaggart, who wrote The Field, one of her, I get a lot of her bulletins, and she's going to be interviewed in a few weeks, too. Yay! We're going to have a great conversation with her. But in any case, she's talking like many about how we're moving into a shift. And this shift could lead us to a world in which we all are supported, we all look after each other, we all care how we are. It's really interesting, and we've heard about this for years. Isn't this utopia? Isn't this the world we've heard about for centuries and centuries? And I've always heard people scoff and go, yeah, right, that's never going to happen. And it sort of reminded me, when I looked at it, I went, well, and I was going to talk about competition. That's one of the things that stops that, isn't it? I want you at home to raise your hands if you do not feel that you're competitive. Raise your hands and I'll be able to see you. We don't feel that we're so competitive a lot of the time. Some of you are being really honest, okay? Raise your hands if you feel you are competitive. I raise my hands. And I don't want to be. And it's really located somewhere. If you check your body, ask to feel in your body all the competitive energy you can. And where do you find it in your body? I find it in the belly area, the second chakra, and in my heart, right in my heart. Who knows why that is? But in a world where, and America's very like that, we're based, and most of the Western world, I'd say, is based on competition. When I say the world is, I say, what I mean to say is that the economic reality of this world is based on competition. And that's a really frustrating thing because you can feel the pulse of it. There's a quickening amongst people when somebody's doing something that encharges someone else with a competitive edge. You can feel it. It's really fascinating. And Bob and I were talking to the guides before we started this, and we were talking about competition in the male. And our society is really based on, men are sometimes better than women at, I'll give them this, you know, at competing with one another and actually getting charged up by it, sort of liking it. So there's a really kind of healthy competition where we know that if there's like business competition, sometimes both businesses do better because there's kind of a fire between the two of them, pushing and shoving and really, not pushing and shoving, but people understanding that you can go here, you can go here, you can price check, and then there's some kind of competition amongst them. That's not too bad a competition. But one of the competitions that I've been talking about, I haven't finished that thought, okay. The thing that's hard about that competition is that in our society, if you're not up there with that kind of business world, guess what? You just flounder and you fall to the ground and we don't kind of look after each other at that level. You got to have that competitive edge just to survive. So I noticed, actually there's something funny and different about Canadians and Americans. And I've lived in this, I'm Canadian, but I've lived in this country for 22 years. And I've often been asked by people, you know, what's the difference? Because there really isn't much difference. But I think that I can safely say, and I don't mean this to be pejorative, but when we were raised in Canada, we were always told to make sure that when you're doing things, you're doing it for the good of everyone. And here, there's this edge where you always feel like, better get going because somebody's going to get there before me. And I think the extreme part of that is that sometimes we lose track of kindness and what other people need and how to share resources on the planet so that everybody's got enough and so on. That's really going to be a part of the new paradigm because it just hasn't existed in the old. And the world is getting too small now. We don't have enough space on the planet to go as far as we want in that world. We've got a really filled up planet, and we really need to find ways to help each other. As I keep reading about the big shift that's coming up, is to make a difference on the planet, we have to learn to look after each other as well as ourselves. We have to learn to share resources. We have to learn to spread things out. We have to learn to husband resources, to use them gently, to make things sustainable, to individuate and take charge of the truth of who we are. If we're just competitive, it's not really who we are. It's a reactive force, isn't it? There's another part of it that Jackie Salvitti and I had a great conversation about this last weekend, and then her show was based on that quite a bit, that women, because of the patriarchy, I would say, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, we know Eve was a little Dickens, wasn't she? She kind of brought Adam down, didn't she? She brought him out of the Garden of Eden and kind of has been blamed ever since. So we've been talking about that kind of thing, about the feminine, the patriarchy, how the patriarchy has relied upon women not being like eye to eye. It has relied on women to be the supportive group and so on. And then women, for security, have counted on marketing themselves well as far as appearance, as far as weight, as far as whatever we can do and what kind of children we can bring to the fore for the men. And so we get picked by the men. Now, that's ancient, and we'd say we don't quite live that reality these days, but we still do at a deep level. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because a lot of us experience this, that women, somebody brought to my attention that in the Academy Awards, older women still can't win an award. Now, I haven't followed the Academy Awards. Have you, Bob? I haven't followed them carefully enough to see if that's true. But that assumption, I'll just assume it's true, okay, that the assumption I would make is, yeah, because we're not, as we get older, we're not in the in the mainstream, and we're not marketing ourselves quite the same way. We're getting older. We don't have the same kind of zesty little bodies that some of these young actresses have and so on. And so they just don't put us up front. And so that kind of builds, and you can see what I'm kind of getting to here, is that we have an intrinsic, competitive, it's actually a hidden subconscious competition going on amongst women that's gone on for, I would say, thousands of years. I always say 8,000 years, and Bob was reminding me that it was matriarchal in the times of Egypt, but I also know many stories in which women were subservient at that time. So I don't know if I probably have to study and find out where the actual matriarchies did exist and how well they went. But there's this whole competition among women that I feel, that a lot of us feel, it's time for us to look at. Competition among men, too, but I think, and of course men have a feminine side, and there's a way in which this kind of competition that I'm talking about can bring us all, brings us down, but it's not just down. It's like it keeps us separated. To me, it's kind of the cause of wars. It's like when we're kept separate because of fear of someone else taking whatever it is we want. And remember, women would be married, and that would be their security. So somebody else who wasn't might want to take that. So there was always kind of an auction going on with some people. Some people fuse beautifully and create a high energy a synergy of two people, and that sort of thing doesn't have to go on. But there's an awful lot of this weird competitive stuff where people just want what somebody else has, whether it's in goods or people. And, so I wanted to talk about that. I'm going to give the phone numbers, and I'm going to get you to call in and talk about what you think about it. And we're going to talk about what we can do about bringing our competitive nature into our awareness and releasing it. Have you ever had really big difficulties among women? I know you're not all women, but men, you get just as deeply affected by this as we do. You ever had big difficulties and nobody could talk about it, and we're all sitting there sort of pulsing with that same feeling? So I'm assuming that we can't really talk about it out loud, partly because it's so deep within the psyche and so deep within the subconscious that some of us are even horrified that it's there. But there are many ways to deal with it, and we're going to get into that. So if you'd like to call in and talk about your life, competition, earth changes, or anything else, please do. This is the number in the States. It's 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. And if you're one of my Canadian listeners, welcome, 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. And on the direct line, it's 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And I think my conversation about competition is really a call to arms for all of us. Not really arms. Yeah, arms of hugging, okay? It's a call to arms for us to begin to have common goals together instead of really divisive goals. And I don't think that can really happen. You know, and I watch it with my clients, and I do readings, most of you know this, and I watch it with my clients' deep hidden fears based on what Jackie Salvitti's group calls the familial chain of pain. That means that which you have brought down through your lineage. So, you know, and I always like to tell the story about how many years ago I was having trouble in my marriage, and I was going off to see a psychologist, and I was in a big, we had a fairly big old-fashioned car, and I was driving. Of course, I was in the driver's seat. And I was driving to the psychologist wondering if I can save my marriage and wanting to evolve and change and so on. And I realized that there was someone sitting in the back seat. So I looked, and I think it's very inconvenient because she's sitting right behind me, which, you know, it's much harder to see the person right behind you. And I thought, she sort of looks like my family. She looks like my mom. And she came with me, this woman, and it was a spirit being. And it turns out she was my great-great-grandmother from my mother's side. And what she said as I went into the psychologist's office, who actually could see her because he was very intuitive. I picked an intuitive fellow, smart and intuitive. And he looked, he said, "Who did you bring with you?" I said, "It's my great-great-grandmother," or great-great-great, it might be. I forget now. But in any case, what she said is it was her frustrations that put the a lot of the anxiety in the women down into the lineage, and she was going to be there while I unplugged some of that. So that was pretty amazing. So it's not exactly about competition, but it is an example of how we take on a kind of a lineage and it runs through the family. And in this case, it was about the women probably being insecure, and I don't remember the exact detail. Maybe it'll come back to me. But in any case, so let's talk about bringing up that which is hidden, and it might be just passed down in yourself, and it might just be passed down through your lineage. It may be because of life experiences. There's a lot about betrayal and competition, and betrayal and competition, but I would say betrayal seems to be really accentuated in some people's soul journey, meaning I was doing work with a woman the other day, and she was working with betrayal, but I saw that she had been betrayed many, many lifetimes, and so she was kind of asking for it this lifetime. So we could say, well, golly, what's that all about? My understanding is that we have these things encoded in us until we can actually get them into the conscious and change them. And so we were changing that out with her, and we'll see whether that really worked. But if you've got a big nugget of betrayal in there, and it's going to be like a grenade to blow you out of the water regularly because you've been programmed or because your reactions on the subconscious level are just like that, then we got to get to work on it. And it is all about competition, isn't it? Betrayal is when somebody does you in, so obviously they want something you have. or whatever. So what I'd like you all to do, here's an exercise. What I'd like you all to do is drop in, call in your guides and angels, call in your awareness of your higher self. And ask yourself, and this is for you guys as well as girls, okay? You boys, I was going to say. For you boys, too. I want you to call up in your body an awareness of that feeling of competition. Notice where it is in your body. And what does it feel like? I'm kind of looking around, and for some people it feels almost like you can't, like your stomach is frozen or something. For some other people, there's a heart pounding. For some, there's a sort of a belly tightness and a queasy feeling. Why don't you call in and tell me what happens to you? And let's exaggerate that feeling now. Mm-hmm. Exaggerate it. Make it as big as you can. And then ask your guides and angels to take it. Say, take this feeling. Take this drive. It's a subconscious drive to be competitive. And it can give you an edge. There are some people who are, how can I put this? I know some people who are really, really conscious and still don't believe that they have a competitive edge. And how do you know it's there? Is you can feel it when somebody, when you're saying, oh, I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to do a radio show. I'm going to do Paradigm Shifters. And you're talking to people about it. Certain people tighten up and you get this real edge presence. And what does it mean? You know, one of the interesting things in metaphysics that we know is if I can do it, then you can do it too. But it's when we do the judgment along with it, like, who does she think she is? I want to do that. Or I should be the one doing it. That's where we get the competition part. And that's the part that isn't so great for us. But in this society, we are able to do, all of us. I mean, if you tell me you're going to do this and that and I really want to do it, I probably can do it. Jealousy is another term that I like to work with, which is a thing that people don't like to admit as well. But if you're jealous of somebody, feel it in the time. Like if somebody says that they're going to do something and you feel deeply jealous, then drop into your body, call up that jealousy right now and say, aha, is that what I want? I didn't realize it. It always tells us what we want. But the other interesting thing about jealousies, competitions, these kinds of feelings, is that there's a deeper survival issue, betrayal. There's a deeper survival issue underneath it. And what does that mean? It means that at some level, you figure if you don't, and you may not think this, but you'll feel it in your gut. You feel like if I don't get that, I'm not okay, I'm going to die. Something really kind of outrageously what would you say? It's really an extreme reaction for the situation. So it's really worth it to call up, for example, when you're feeling competitive or jealous, to call it up. Hi, I'll just finish my thought and then you'll be on the air. So it's good to call it up and feel it, but also recognize in yourself that sometimes there's a survival issue underneath it, and it likely didn't necessarily come from this lifetime. So let's play with that and see if we can shift the collective and be a little kinder to one another as we activate our individuation. We have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
This is my first time.
Great. What's your name?
Beth.
Hi, Beth. How are you doing today?
Good. Good. Yes. I was just listening to you, and you said something that was very interesting that you said that, and I'm not sure what you called it, but the gist of it is that if you, whatever somebody else can do, you could do it also.
Right.
And that's something that I struggle with, because I believe that too, that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think, where the jealousy and the competitiveness comes, because I think that I'm thinking, I can't. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, they have that talent, or they can do that, and, you know, I think that's the thing that I struggle with.
Do you feel sometimes, I think we all struggle with that, and good for you that you're being honest about it. it's kind of a meditation to practice that. Like, throw, to me, I like to do this. Throw yourself down in your vision, not in your physical, or you hurt yourself. Throw yourself down on the floor in front of the divine and surrender and surrender and surrender, and then bring yourself back up and then recreate. You know, I know that. You see, mostly what we want that the other person has isn't identical. It's your own way, isn't it?
Right.
You know, like if somebody's, has a show, like I said, the radio show, because somebody's a performer, you got something totally different that you would do. But you could be a performer too, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's got a great husband or something. And if you really are thinking, smitten with that husband, you can throw yourself out into a surrender and remember that there's a great guy out there for you too, sort of thing, you know? It's a big job. It tears at our guts pretty much, doesn't it?
Yeah, I see. Okay. Well, the thing is, I am a performer.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So. Well, you have a nice light. That could be why. I was going to say that at the beginning.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, there was a part of me that gets jealous when I see, you know, and it's not even jealousy. It's almost like envy or like, you know, because when I see my friends succeed, there's a part of me that does say, oh, man, you know, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there is a part of me that does feel guilty, you know, or, you know, for even thinking like, well, why do they have it? I want that. But then it's like, well, they're my friends, you know, I'm happy for them, but I also want it for me too.
You know what's interesting, Beth? First of all, I know exactly what you're saying. Second of all, if you drop in and let yourself have it, and, you know, even when you're feeling guilty, go, wait a minute, I want to feel this jealousy thing. You're going to discover more of the pieces of what it is you want. You know how we are never quite sure what we're after?
Oh, God, yes, it's totally what I'm going through right now, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that, actually. Because it's like what you're after is not like anybody around you. And yet the fact that they're getting picked or, you know, decided upon is really pushing your buttons, but I want to tease you and go, great, okay, get jealous, be really honest about it, hand it over to your angels and say, okay, now I'm getting closer to what it is I really want. Because you also have a really nice light, and that light is going to get you selected, but it has to be in your own, if we're talking paradigm shift, it has to be in your own true paradigm, not in that old way where I have to grab it before somebody else does, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I'd much rather do it, have it, or feel it that way than have it be like, let me get it before somebody else gets it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's so, I mean, we really hurt each other through centuries and centuries that way, haven't we?
Yeah.
But I don't think we can deny the feeling. So instead of feeling guilty about it, feel it and be excited that you had the chutzpah to feel it.
Yeah, right.
And let it transform, because you've got something very exciting coming up. Yeah, something coming is. I just see it coming right behind you. Something's going to surprise you, and you're going to have a new opportunity. And it won't be just. And this is what usually happens to people who are on their own path, right?
Yeah.
But it won't be the idea that you think you're going for right now, or even that you're jealous about. And Beth, you said something else, and I know I should say goodbye here, but I want to say one other thing: it's very difficult for humans to be happy for someone else's success.
Really?
And that's, yeah, watch it in people. I've watched it for quite a while. And it's not because we're not good people. It's the same thing. Is if she got it, I can't have it. You know? And then I think to face that, to really look at it, to feel it, and get your angels to take it. I like to say to my higher self and my angels, you take this. Look what I'm doing with it. And boom, it'll be gone really fast. But
right.
to recognize it is the way out of it. See what I mean?
Okay. That's good. That's
thank you
really
for your
good.
Call. Your call was courageous.
Thank you.
All right.
It was nice talking to you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Now, that was an interesting call. It takes a lot of chutzpah to know how we really feel and to admit it. But I realize this, too. The faster we feel what we really feel and move it. I know a lot of people who don't even know what they feel. So the biggest gift is when you go, oh, wow, I have a really grotty feeling. It's disgusting, but at least it's mine, and it's here right now. You pull it up, and you look at it, you feel it, and you command total release of it. Always call in your guides and angels, because they're great at helping you do that. Where was I going with this? sometimes what happens with people and competition, we have some other things that go on as well. That you have people that you feel really uncomfortable with, okay? And you have people that, for example, if you have, say you have an issue with authority, okay? And you don't like authority because it's really pushed you around too much and you feel thwarted. You feel like maybe you're the second child in a family. I think that this probably is a second child syndrome amongst other ways that you can have this syndrome. And if you have an issue with authority, means everybody seems to be over you and telling you what to do and so on, then sometimes you'll meet somebody or you'll have a good friend, and that friend happens to be, in quotes, teacher, and is very good at telling you how you should be doing things. So instead of just being grateful because that person's helping you, you immediately lay on them, project on them all your frustrations or all your expectations. Thanks for the call. I'll be with you in just 1 minute. All your expectations that they're just like the authority that you've been thwarted by in the past. And so you start to get kind of edgy with them, and there's this like deep competition going on. And sometimes it's just because you're projecting, and it might not even be a real competition. Well, it is competition, but maybe it's not a really important form of competition. Good afternoon, good evening, you're on the air.
Ah, hello, it's Dominic from London.
Hi, Dominic, how you doing?
Oh, fine, fine, doing well indeed for some reason.
Good. Well, that's good.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I find the idea of competing a very strange thing. Sort of, I would like to compete, but it just seems that things that I would like to compete in are kind of, I don't know, my creativity sort of won't allow me to, or sort of like some big kind of lock just to make sure I don't get into the competition with anyone.
Okay, this is an interesting conversation. So why is that? So does that mean that you're reclusive, you're alone all the time?
Sorry? Could you repeat that again?
I said, does that mean that you remain reclusive, alone?
Oh, no, I suppose it's probably the work, the creativity I come up with is just kind of too weird and too complicated. And, you know, I suppose I do go out into the open air and be amongst people, but it's my creativity is just kind of too utterly weird, I suppose. But, it's like I got these, spirit guides or whatever, and they just won't allow me to compete because it's probably kind of too special to get into competition with. And maybe if I do interlock with other people in competition, I probably go and pick up all their energy and be rocked and God knows what, in a kind of storm.
You know what's really important about your conversation outside of the fact is simply your conversation, which is good, is that this thing about being a very, very sensitive, very intuitive, very empathic person, which I am as well, is the guides that said sometimes when we go, and I know I can see this in your reality, that sometimes when we go into a group, when we're doing something new or formatting something about ourselves and trying to get our truth and so on, we just get drowned in the, we get competitive because we're just absolutely feeling and putting through our own body mind all these weird frequencies, and we finally have to go into recovery instead of getting the solution. So in that case, your guides are smart enough not to dip you into a great bowl of everybody else's feelings, because they know it'll take you a while to get out.
Yeah, something that I can compete in, like maybe to walk faster than another person from the train to the ticket barrier. That's the only kind of competition I'm allowed to have in this day and age.
Do you get a kick out of it?
I do, yes. But then sometimes I'm not allowed even to do that. I have to learn to walk this sort of, this little tightrope into this other dimension.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Even to that degree, all these little lessons I have to learn that I can't really be, for my own ego, walk faster than the person, but I can surrender myself to God and walk faster than that person, get to the ticket barrier quicker.
So you see, we're talking about something interesting here, which is called individuation, becoming the truth of who you are, right?
Yes.
And we were just talking to Beth, and one of the things is when she's a performer. If she competes with another performer and performs like them in order to do their job better, then she's no longer individuating. You see the problem? And you're in a journey where you really have to be in touch with the core center of your beingness and really shine that up. And if you go in there and you need to recover from all kinds of competition, that just delays your progress, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, I suppose. Yes.
Yeah.
And, it's a very kind of weird little reality I live in, because there's very little for people to actually come up to me and, you know, sort of interconnect with me and maybe, you know, allow me to do any work. It's like I'm on this frequency where very little happens. But other than that, I have one of these pyramid hats. I have a pyramid hat on myself, and that's the only reason people come up to me and talk to me about that.
They talk to you about your pyramid hat?
Yes.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes.
Well, that isn't a competitive thing, except it does mean you stand out from the crowd, so you get some attention without competing for it, I suppose.
Yes, it's probably, I know, that I may be competing to connect with people in the most strangest individual way. That's
probably it, but I also warn you that your guides are absolutely right that for you to dip yourself into too much human turmoil and so on is going to be really exhausting for you. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just you're a little bit more vulnerable. But thank you for your call, Dominic.
Okay, lovely to talk to you. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, that's an interesting thing because my guides were actually warning me the other day. I had this great plan of getting involved in something, which I won't describe right now, and the guides said a very similar thing to me, is that you can't really do that. You can't really go and jump in there because as people reformat and go through all these changes, then you get caught in all that, and the next thing you know, you have to be in recovery to find out who you really are. So that's one of the things that happens with competition. I've noticed through the years that one of the things that happens that's really awful is even if it's not expressed on the surface, you can feel it in the room. So I had a client, I was talking to her the other day, and she was saying she was feeling kind of crazy because there was another, it was a woman's group, and another woman came in, and it's somebody she's known for years, and she always feels the danger around when that woman's there. And what I could see in there was there's this deep kind of hidden, this woman, and this happens with a lot of us, this woman has an urgency deep within to make her life kind of better. And as such, she pushes or competes with other women to make herself pass whatever level they're at. And you can feel it energetically. So my client, who happens to be extremely sensitive and was pulling herself out of a very difficult situation, so at that point we're a little bit more vulnerable, was very much aware of the push of this other woman, and other people couldn't see it. I could see it because there's a drive in some people, and you can just feel it in a still room. I know most of you can do that. So competition is quite interesting, isn't it? And we're taught to compete for... I think maybe this is healthy, actually, competing for sports and so on. I'll just finish my thought, and then you're on the air. But competing in sports and so on is good in a way because it teaches us to be competitive by choice and kind of objective. I'm sure that we have lots of discussion about that. So you're on the air. Welcome to Radiance by Design.
Hi, Veronica. This is Laris. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Laris. How are you? I can barely hear you, darling.
Good, good. I was listening to the show, and I wanted to ask you, what is your perspective about the situation in my relationship? Because, interesting enough, my husband has been telling me lately that he thinks that one of the most important issues that we have is...
I can't quite hear you. You said your husband's been telling you lately that, and then I didn't hear it.
Yeah, that one of the major issues that we have lately is that we act competitively to each other.
Uh-huh.
And
I
have been given a lot of thought of that, but I think I can benefit a lot from what you see, because it's very difficult for me to see into the relationship because I am in it, so I'm very subjective about it.
You know something that's really interesting? is when I look at you and your husband and I look for the competitive, because I think this happens with a lot of couples and unwittingly people don't realize it, is you need to ask your higher self, and I know you're very well versed in this process, ask your higher self to reveal to you when you're competitive. Because what I feel happens with you, Lars, is that you get this kind of tension around your body as if you're holding against him. And he has his own version, but sometimes he's bewildered by it. Do you know that?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why. Maybe you...
Let me try to say it again. I say you have a tension in your body as if you're holding against your husband, and he feels it. Did you hear that part?
That could be, yeah.
And I'm saying to you and to other people at home is that sometimes our way of knowing we've got a competitive edge with somebody is just asking to feel it, and it starts to reveal itself, and sometimes it's really surprising. It's very, very helpful because you can unhook that. Because he doesn't really want to compete with you. He wants to impress you sometimes. You know that?
He wants to?
He wants to impress you.
Oh, okay.
He wants to show you how wonderful he is or something. And sometimes that's hard for you to receive. You know how sometimes we want to show somebody, hey, look, I'm doing well at this. It's not really about ourselves. It's about what they're trying to show. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
I would say check that kind of time out, because if you can hold that place, and any of us could learn this, I can learn from this too, if you can hold an open heart and say, wow, yeah, you're really doing well, then you can drop your guard because he will drop his. You see what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't think I don't think it's terrible. I just think that he was very wise to bring it up.
Okay.
Because it's enough. You don't need that between yourself. He's about to grow and change, and so are you. So why don't you grow and change and be different together?
Yes, I have the same feeling too.
Yeah.
It's great that you have compliment.
There's something about your relationship that is very good. Relationships don't always stay the same, but this one has got some really good light coming up.
Yes, I feel that too.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
All right, Lars.
For being there.
Sleep well. I know it's the middle of the night over there in Spain.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Elaine. Bye-bye.
You know, that's a really interesting one, because a number of people have talked about husband and wife or relationship competition recently, too. This is a big subject for all of us, because as we try to individuate, it means unhooking those patterns that say, that imply, if I have, you don't, and if you have, I don't. So somebody really needs your praise and respect for an accomplishment. Sometimes that can push your buttons, right? Sometimes it can make you feel like you want to just shut down and say, I shouldn't give away my strength for that person. Sometimes it would be very good to stay still, bring in your guides and angels, and ask for help as you release your defense and acknowledge something that they're doing. And sometimes when people are doing things side by side, that competitive edge just rises. I can feel it in myself sometimes. And just to recognize it and ask for help from your guides and angels to command total release will really release that pressure now. So let's finish. We have 6 minutes, so I don't know if we're going to have another caller. It's funny because we were talking about Mother Earth and the possible Earth changes and how tumultuous it is. And the tumultuousness of the inner core is what causes that devastation on the external part of the globe, isn't it? And in a way, that's true for us. As we talk about changing and growing and bringing in our higher selves and bringing in our soul purpose, bringing in our universal relationship with life as well as our own integrity in this moment. I mean, all of that's a lot. And as we clear and release, we release family of origin, we release shame, we release the shadow, we release all this stuff, we're having a tumultuous activity in the belly area, aren't we? Maybe in the whole body. But we cannot be energetically absolutely stable. It's tumultuous. And as the energy fields move up and things speed up on the planet and in the universe, oh, it's really amazing how much change and rapid change is going on in each individual and also in the, you know, communities and families. People are breaking apart. People are getting together. People are moving. It is very tumultuous. So if we look at Mother Earth, we say she's just like we are. There's this huge change going on deep down inside of the Earth. Okay, I'll just finish that one thought. So just remember to be metaphorically aware of your changes and the Earth changes all at the same time.
Yeah, but I can't hear.
Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Who's there?
Oh, here's another call that you're not going to be able to hear very well.
Really?
Can you hear me?
Not very well. Yes, I can
hear
you. I can hear you.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear me, but I'll speak as loudly as I can. You're talking about competition, and I'm just wondering, what if I want to be more competitive in some areas and lose the competitive in others? So, like, for example, why would I get over the edge over a stupid game of darts, but when it comes to maybe times when I should be more competitive and stand up for myself and have more passion for things, I don't seem to have that competitiveness at that point.
Because it's a huge, you got a huge self-esteem thing. There's something about your nature. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it is quite quiet. I'm on my cell phone. That's why.
That might be why, and I don't know, because people keep asking me to raise my voice. I'm yelling. Anyway, there's something about you. What's your first name?
Lynn.
Lynn. There's something about you which is changing and growing, and you have not found the center of who you are yet. And that means you're going to move into a time where you're going to actually claim who you are, and your passion will rise. And I don't see you wanting to compete for the pleasure of being who you are so much. I feel like right now the biggest problem is you flounder when you're pressured, and I've been there before. And you're going to change out of that, and then you're going to find that the dart game isn't the only place where you get your passion up, girl.
Good.
But I would say to you that most of the art of who Lynn is right now is finding more of the truth of self, and that's when we're in that, then we start to put our light in the world with a different kind of confidence and consciousness, and then you'll be different. You'll have an edge over different things. That makes sense?
It does.
What's your job?
My job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right now I'm just doing bus driving right now, but in the past I just left a like kitchen design job because I'm at home with the baby, and doing the bus driving I could take the baby with me.
Well, honey, you know what's going to happen is you're going to reformat who you are, and you're going to put it into the world differently. And your confidence, your definition of self will come from the inside out. And that's when your passion comes up. Love your baby. Take your time and let all this emerge.
Yeah, good. I know, I'm a little anxious to get it all figured out right away, but...
No, love that baby.
It's hard to be patient.
Yeah, you have a good time with it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, many blessings.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. We have an amazing guest coming up, I should say guests coming up on Paradigm Shifters. We're talking to Galexis. Galexis is a coalescence or a gathering of consciousnesses from different times and places, always on the move for a much higher consciousness. And they're going to be speaking. Ginger, who channels Galexis, is going to speak with us for a few minutes at 5 o'clock, and then she's going to channel Galexis through. And we won't have any calls for it, but I know that you're going to find it a very vigorous and a lively show. So, and I'm also going to be on Jackie Salvitti's show again on Thursday night. I'm always her sidekick there, her Ed McMahon, as I say. And we're going to be talking more about competition and betrayal and evolving out of the dangers of that kind of thing when we're unaware of what we're doing. It's a good show. Jackie Silvetti's ET Healing at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And you'll be back here with me on Radiance by, or I'll be back here with you on Radiance by Design next Tuesday. I guess we have another minute. So in the meantime, the suggestion is that, it's like for Lynn, who is the latest caller, the suggestion is to really be working with who you really are. And when you're feeling that edge of competition, clear it over and over again. Unless you're running a race of some sort and you're needing the competition for sport. But really, we need to break out of that whole competitive edge. If you can achieve it, so can I. And if yours is a little different than mine, I still can achieve it. But I got to get to the inside of myself, to the truth of myself first, and then we can both keep going. But I believe that we have to pull the weeds of competition that have been placed in our subconscious through past life reactions or this life. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I'll see you at the top of the hour, and sending everybody much love and thanks for your calls and the courage to make the call. See you in 5 minutes.